All right, everyone, get ready, because today we're going deep on a case. It's a wild one. Businessman, a super fancy corporate jet, and a seller who tries to, well, back out of the deal after everything's, you know, basically done.
Sounds juicy.
Oh, it is. It's Klein v. PepsiCo, and the legal stuff we're going to uncover here, way more interesting than a can of soda, that's for sure.
Yeah, Klein v. PepsiCo. Yeah, what's really interesting about this one is, well, it shows you just how hard it is to make someone actually stick to a deal. Like, even when it's clear they broke a contract, the law doesn't always have a, you know, a perfect fix.
So let's set the scene. We got Eugene Klein, successful businessman, right? And he wants in on the whole jet set lifestyle, wants a Gulfstream GDI, the top of the line stuff. So he hires a broker, these guys, Universal Jet Sales, a UJS we'll call them, to find him one. And they do. They find one owned by, get this, PepsiCo.
A beverage company with a private jet.
I know, right? Makes you wonder what kind of perks they had back then.
Seriously. But anyway, the real story, it gets going. Because even though there's no like formal contract, all signed and official, the court said, nope, there's a deal here.
Wait, hold on. I always thought contracts had to be like on paper, signatures, all that legal mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
How can you have a deal without that?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think. And sure, written contracts, those are, you know, they help a lot. But you don't always need them. This is where this idea of mutual assent comes in. It's all about, did the two sides act like they had an agreement? Did their actions show they were both on the same page? And in this case, oh yeah, the court said it was obvious.
So what'd they do that was basically shouting, we got a deal?
So we got records, right? PepsiCo sends a counteroffer for the jet, $4.6 million, and UJS, they accept. Now get this, they accepted by telex.
Telex.
Yeah, like a super old school email, basically.
Okay.
So we got that. And Klein, he already put down a deposit. Plus, PepsiCo, they agreed to make some repairs after the jet was inspected. To the court, this was like a big flashing sign saying they meant to be bound by this agreement.
Telex deposit repairs.
Yeah.
Seems pretty clear. But I get a feeling the inspection is where things went sideways.
You got it. The sale, it was all okay as long as the inspection goes well. But then before they could finish the inspection, PepsiCo, they took the jet off the market.
So they kind of just like pulled the rug out. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, not exactly a good look. But legally, this is where it gets interesting. PepsiCo, they tried to say, hey, no formal contract, inspection wasn't done, no deal. But the court, they weren't buying it.
I bet PepsiCo was not happy about that.
Not even a little bit. The court, they brought up the UCC, the Uniform Commercial Code. Basically, that says even stuff like that, telex, written confirmations, those can be enough to make a contract official. So if you put something in writing and you act like it's a done deal, legally, it is a done deal.
Okay, that makes sense. But what about that inspection, though? They never gave it the final, like, thumbs up, did they?
And that is where things get really, really interesting. The court said, look, PepsiCo basically stopped the inspection from happening when they took the jet away. So in a way, that inspection condition, it was satisfied.
Wait, so they got like penalized for messing things up themselves?
Exactly. It might seem a little strange, but that's how contract law works sometimes. And there's a big lesson here for everyone out there making deals. Those conditions in your agreements, be really careful with those. Because if someone tries to stop those conditions from happening, well, the court might say those conditions don't even matter anymore.
Yeah, that's something to keep in mind for sure. So what happened then? Did PepsiCo have to, like, give up the jet?
The first court, they said, yep, specific performance. That means PepsiCo, they had to sell the jet to Klein, just like they agreed. But here's the thing, specific performance, that's not something you see very often, especially when it comes to business deals.
Why is that? I mean, a jet, that seems pretty unique. I'd figure that'd qualify.
You'd think so, right? But usually, when someone breaks a contract, money can fix it. You break a deal, you pay up, everybody moves on. Specific performance, that's only for like really special stuff, things that are totally unique, can't be replaced, money can't really, you know, make up for losing it.
Hmm. So the court was basically saying a Gulfstream G2, not unique enough for us to make them sell it. I'm curious, what was their reasoning?
Well, PepsiCo, remember, they appealed the first ruling, and that's where things get really, really interesting. It went up to the Fourth Circuit Court, and they said, nope, no specific performance. They basically reversed it.
So even a fancy corporate jet, not unique enough to force a sale, huh? What was their thinking there?
So they looked at a few things, right? And it kind of made Klein's argument weaker. First, they found out there were 21 other GIIs out there on the market, And three of them, pretty comparable to the one PepsiCo had.
So maybe not as rare as Klein was making it seem.
Exactly. And then, get this, they found out Klein had actually bid on some other GIs after PepsiCo backed out, I mean. So that whole thing about this jet being like super special and irreplaceable kind of fell apart.
He was bidding on other jets while saying this one was the only one he could ever have. That doesn't sound very convincing.
Yeah, it didn't really help his case. And this is important. It shows us this idea of the uniqueness test. For a court to make someone sell something, it's not enough for it to be like rare. It's got to be truly irreplaceable. No substitutes. Think of it this way. Let's say you got a signed first edition of a book, right? Pretty rare. But if you can find another copy, it's not irreplaceable. Now, a one-of-a-kind painting, that's different. There's no other one like it.
Okay, starting to see the difference. So the court was saying, hey, it's a jet, not some priceless treasure. Go find another one. But doesn't that create a loophole, though? Like, couldn't anyone just back out of a deal knowing they'll just have to pay a little extra later?
Yeah, that's a good question. It shows how tricky this balance is for the courts. They want to make sure contracts mean something, that people keep their promises, but they also don't want to, like, control every single business deal out there. Specific performance. That's a big deal. It's only for special situations.
So, to wrap it up, Klein, he couldn't force PepsiCo to sell him that jet, but he could go buy another one and then, what, sue for the price difference.
Exactly. And what this case really shows us is how many courts don't like using specific performance, at least for business cases, unless it's truly, truly one of a kind. Money usually wins.
Yeah, this has given us a lot to think about. Any key takeaways for lawyers or really anyone making contracts? What should they keep in mind after, hearing all this?
I'd say first, clarity is everything. When you're writing an agreement, be super specific, especially if there are things like inspections or appraisals involved. Get those details down clearly.
Yeah, less chance of a legal mess later on.
Right. And second, if you're ever thinking about going for specific performance, make sure you got a strong, strong case. Why is this thing totally irreplaceable? Don't just say it's unique. You got to prove it
Yeah.
with evidence.
Don't just use the word, show me the proof. Got it. Anything else?
Last thing, the UCC, the Uniform Commercial Code, remember that came up? Well, it gives courts a lot of flexibility with specific performance.
So even if you got a good case, it's not like a guaranteed win.
Klein v. PepsiCo, it's a good warning. Proving someone broke a contract, that's one thing. But making a court force them to actually do what they promised, especially if you can find something similar out there, that's a whole other battle.
This has been super insightful, I gotta say. But before we finish up our deep dive into Klein v. PepsiCo, one more thing. We can talk about jets, physical stuff. But what about like digital things, NFTs? Those are supposed to be one of a kind, even if anyone could just copy the, the picture or whatever.
Now that's where things get really interesting. That's kind of new territory, legally speaking. And Klein v. PepsiCo, even though it's from like way before all this digital stuff, it might actually have some helpful things to say about it.
Okay, I'm listening. How could a case about a jet apply to something like digital asset? So how does a case about, a physical jet from way back when, how does that apply to something like a digital asset? Those are like totally different things.
It's all about how courts decide what unique really means and when it's the right time to use this specific performance thing. Remember in Klein, the court, they didn't really care that GIIs are, rare or fancy. They focused on could Klein get another jet just like it? That's what mattered.
So for NFTs, it's not just that it's like one of a kind on the blockchain, technically. It's more about can the value it's supposed to have, can that be replaced? Because, I mean, anyone can right-click and save a JPEG.
Right, exactly. Let's say you own an NFT and it gives you like special access to something, a virtual event maybe, or some online community. That experience, that access, that could be argued as unique, something you can't replace, even if other people have NFTs from the same, set.
So it's not about the digital file itself, it's about what you get because of it, the rights or whatever that come with it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to be really interesting for lawyers, dealing with these cases down the road.
I can see that. They'd have to convince the court that what makes this NFT special is what you do with it, what it lets you do. And that's why it's got to be specific performance. Money's not enough.
Right. They got to prove that getting cash doesn't make up for losing out on that specific opportunity or experience or whatever. Imagine like an NFT that's basically a deed to some virtual land. in the metaverse, right? You could say, hey, just getting the money for that doesn't replace owning that exact piece of land.
It's like we're going beyond just buying and selling stuff. We're in like a whole new world of digital services, intellectual property.
You got it. And that's a really important point. Digital assets, they're getting more complex, more integrated into how we live. And the laws we've had for like centuries, they might need to catch up.
This is why I love these deep dives, you know?
Yeah.
We start with a case about a jet and we end up talking about like the future of law in the digital world.
It just shows the law, it always has to change to keep up with technology and, you know, how society changes.
So for our listeners out there, you know, the legal folks, what are the like the big things they should be thinking about from Klein v. PepsiCo and all this stuff about digital assets?
This case, it really shows how important it is to write contracts that are clear, that are thinking about the future, especially for digital or, you know, intangible things. Don't just say ownership because that might not mean much in court, especially with digital stuff. Spell out exactly what rights, what access, what utility is being transferred.
And if you're going to go for specific performance with these digital things, you got to be ready to really prove why that specific asset is truly like one of a kind. Not just its code, but what it does, what makes it valuable.
Exactly. Klein v. PepsiCo, it gives us a way to think about uniqueness in a world where physical and digital, those lines are getting blurrier all the time. It's new territory, and there's going to be a lot of legal battles over this stuff in the future, that's for sure.
Well, I think we made it through this deep dive. We covered contract law, all the ins and outs of specific performance, and even got into like the cutting edge of digital assets. And all because of a guy who really wanted a jet.
It just goes to show one case can really get you thinking about all sorts of things. Who knows what new challenges are coming as tech keeps changing.
That's what keeps it interesting, right? For our listeners, if you want to dig into the full case of Klein v. PepsiCo, we put a link in the show notes. And if you got any thoughts about the case or how it could apply to like NFTs and all that, we'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on social media.
Until next time, everyone, stay sharp. And remember, sometimes the things you can't replace, those are the most valuable.